Shalom, everybody. We are continuing to understand what is the tikkun, that means the correction of this month called month of Cheshvan, month of Scorpio. We want to discuss what is really this month, this energy of this month that we have been talking about it for past 3-4 weeks. Bottom line is, what a scorpion has to do? And what is this tikkun? And what is tikkun of this month? What is the purpose of this month, the energy force of this month? We discussed last week that the personality, there is a fight in this month between the personality and the soul. And the soul in Hebrew means ruach. There is a thank you. We would like to understand and we would like to know that there is two management within our body. It's one body, but two types of management governs our body. There is a management that is executed by our nefesh, which is our life, which is in our blood. And there is a management within us that runs by our ruach, which is our sechel, which is our mind and our wisdom and our power of logic and understanding, etc., etc., the knowledge that we acquire. There are two different management. One is ruach, which is soul, and one is the life, which is the chaim, which is the dam, which is the blood, which we call nefesh behemi, that means the animal aspect of the human being. In order to understand this more clearly, Kabbalah divides the body into two parts. There is one part starts from head all the way till belly button. And belly button, there is a kind of a masach, it's a skin that is holding the whole stomach and divides the stomach, diaphragm, right, the above of the stomach to below, from the belly button. From the head, out of our five senses, four senses are in our head, which has sense of looking, smell, hearing, and taste, which is as well as dibur, talk. All this information from head is given to our body. We put food into our mouth. As soon as we swallow the food, who is in control?
Body.
Who is in control of the body? If we said that there are really two management, and if the brain and the sechel and the wisdom and the chokhmah and the understanding is in the head, and all the information through our senses, four senses, go into our head and given to our body, it's really the energy that is from the top of the head till belly bottom is controlling this territory. Now I tell you, this territory is controlled by our ruach, by our soul. By our soul, not by our nefesh. By our soul. However, the purpose of the creation, is God to give the creator, the light, the source, the Ein Sof, to give all the goodness, all the pleasures in the world to its creator. That was the purpose. However, we realized and we understood that this purpose cannot be achieved until such a time that a man earns his keep. That means gets rid of bread of shame. That means becomes shivui tzura. Same similarity with its creator. Its creator is the ratzon, desire to share. Until man does not acquire the desire to share within itself, does not find similarity. Until the man, that who is created, and we discussed, when man is created, when man is born, when a baby is born, what is the type of a ratzon, desires the baby has? Desire to? For who? Me. I. Now, immediately there is a concept naturally given to this newborn called to love of self. Now, what is love of self? What is ahavat atzmi? To love myself. I want you to think about what it is, one, to love, to fall in love with himself or with herself. Is that possible? Think about it. Think about it. How much you love yourself?
A selfishness?
How much you love yourself? To what extent do you love yourself? To the extent that you are not ready to give up anything. Anything. For self. That's the ultimate desire to receive for oneself alone. This is a nature God gave us at first. Now, God, the source, the one that we cannot possibly grasp, gave this nature to us and said, you know what? The only way that you can find equality, affinity to me, similarity with me, is to change your nature. Simply, your nature I gave you, desire to receive, ultimately to fall in love with yourself. I want you to change this 180 degree and to make your desire, instead of desire to receive for oneself alone, make it desire to lahashpia, to be a cause of making your creator happy. 180 degree completely. And when you are able to act similar to how I am, then we can be one to one. I gave initially the energy of for you to desire to receive. I gave you time. I gave you everything you need. I give you an opportunity to fall in love with yourself. Come on. Would you do anything if there is no pleasure for you? Anything. Are you ready to accept pain for someone else? Yes, we do. Only if there is something in it for me. I become a Jew. I obey the rules of the Judaism. Why? 99% of the time, I have been slapped so badly. I have failed so badly. I have been kicked around so badly that I see I am absolutely powerless. And I then come to God and say, God, help me. Because I see myself weak. Otherwise, I don't come. What for? Because coming to near God, it means that I have to change my nature. And changing nature is not my cup of tea. My cup of tea is I run from morning to night just to facilitate myself to enjoy myself. And you are telling me to give up this pleasure for sake of him? And then I will become one to one? Is that the deal? It's really the deal? Now, the parasha that we studied this week, and we know there's two types of times we have. Time of reality right now is 10:12. That's the physical reality, 12 minutes past 8 o'clock, Los Angeles time. And this time is so funny that when I go to New York, it's different. And when I go to Iran, it's different. And when I go to Alaska, it's different. And when I go to Israel, it's different. And we know truth never changes. Torah never changes. The time that the Torah dictates is the actual time, the true time. The parasha that you eat, the portion that you read that week, it exactly defines what's the energy of that week. It's the time of what? Where should I implant my consciousness? In order to become one with the Creator. Why do I want to become one with the Creator? I tell you. Why fire so much wants to go up? Why a baby, as soon as there is the slightest discomfort, seeks the bosom of the mother? Why, when I am really down, I say, you know what, I want to go for a walk in the nature. Why I love so much the nature? Why, as a baby, I want to run back to my source, to my mother, to my Creator? Something implanted in a Jew. We discussed last week. And it started from one man, one Adam, name of Terach. And he was the ultimate of bad. Dark in every way. And out of that darkness, a light started to come out. Goodness comes out of bad. Holiness comes out of unholiness. And that's how it started, from one man. Three sons, Abraham, Haran, and Nahor. And we said these three energies had one thing in common. And you and me, those who have the neshama of a Jew, and only God knows who has the neshama. The one that is a Jew, and he says the mother is a Jew, he's a Jew right now. Yes, he's potentially, he's a Jew. You become only a Jew if you act like what Torah says Jew is. Not my definition of a Jew. Torah's definition of a Jew. And this Torah says the following. That this seed that God started to develop, and then Abraham, and then Haran, and then Nahor, and from Abraham came whatever it came, from Haran came whatever it came, from Hor, and all Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Rachel, all came from this man. They didn't mix up with anything else. God, as a matter of fact, kept them secluded specifically from this energy to bring about 12 Shevatim. Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, and 12 Shevatim, 12 tribes of Israel. Each has his own character, equal to 12 months. And all of them have one thing in common, to seek the emet, the truth. Seek it. You look for it. You want it. You want it in your friend, you want it in your husband, you want it in your wife, you want it in your kids, you want it in your work, you want it in your life. The truth. Nothing else but the truth. As a matter of fact, we are not ready to build our life on anything other than the truth. None of us. And that's embedded in our DNA. Now this instrument. And why do I say instrument? Any one of you can do anything without tools? Possible to do anything without tools? If I want to build a chair, do I need hammer and nail, or etc., etc.? If I want to work myself, do I need tools? Now I understand slightly why God gave me tefillin. Because it's a tool. And when you have the tool and you know how to use the tool, you can build beautiful things. Why God gave me the mitzvah of to do challah? Why God gave me the mitzvah of to put the candles on Shabbat? Why God gave me a mitzvah of putting tzitzit? They are tools. And I need tools. Because with tools I can build. And I need tools to be able to take the management of my life, my future, my body from the hand of the animal to a hand that has sechel, wisdom and understanding and capability of controlling 4 out of 5 senses. I want to understand why in the Shema Yisrael that is the most strongest meditation of a Jew, God says, "Lo taturu acharei inechem o levavchem." Do not follow what your eyes sees and your heart feels. Asher atem zunim acharem, that you become a whore after the desires that entices your eyes and your heart. Why? And continuously tells us what is going on. We said, until the tabur, which is our belly button, there is the government and the management of our soul. That means the soul is the one that comes to the heart, and with the blood they pump in the reyot, the air, the oxygen and the blood, they mix together. The soul comes from above, the blood comes from below, and they mix where? In the middle point called heart. Now, what happens from belly button below? What's going on down there? It says, this management from belly button all the way above is the management of the soul. And the management from the belly button below is the management of nefesh. And nefesh being the natural instinct of I love myself. For what? To go after all the pleasures in the world. That's why below belly defines one thing. The highest level of pleasure. All the pleasures in the world ends up right there. That's why this month of Cheshban, is a month of what? Sex. For what purpose? Pleasure? Or creation? And that's why the Cheshban, month of Cheshban says, I create. Now, where your personality is made? Your personality, my personality is made through my habits. My characters. And in Hebrew we say it's midot. Midot, that means measurement. That means God has one measurement. Looks that how you worked on your midot, how you have worked on your character, how are you changing your character? And gives value to the way you change your character. If you change your character to become similar to the character of the Creator, God gives value to your work. But if you take your character to not to make it similar to the character of the Creator, but just the opposite of the character of the Creator, that means, as an example, God is God of love. God created the world with love. Anybody can prove to me God created the world with love? What is the first word that we use in Bereshit? Bereshit? What's the numerical value of Bereshit? I'll give it to you. 913. Numerical value of Bereshit called 913. Now, he says there is a mispar katan. That means you add all these 913. 9 plus 1 plus 3 becomes how much? It's, we call mispar katan, becomes 13. 13 is the secret of what? Ahava. Echad. One. So Bereshit is the beginning of love of God. Creation is love of God. Its totality, everything that he did, is just to show his love. That's why he says the month of Cheshvan is a month that you rise above your personality. We said personality is what? Your character. Your midot, your habits. What kind of a personality you have. Rise above it. What that means, rise above it? What it means, rise above it? It's very simple English, but very deep thought. It's very difficult to understand. Very simply said, not easily done. What it is to rise above your personality. And this is the tikkun of the month of Cheshvan. Scorpio! Scorpio's nature is to stink. That's his nature. Can't! And if he doesn't find anybody, we said what he's going to do. He's going to turn around and stink herself. That's a Scorpio. That's his nature. The nature of a man is desire to receive for oneself alone. You are telling him to change his nature. Yes, that's the difference between Adam and the animal. That's why God said from your head till your belly button is the aspect of the Adam. Below the belly button is the aspect of the animal. Would you like to stay with the management of the animal, which is the management of Zman, time? Or you want to come rise above you, the animal, to rise above the animal? That means rise above your personality. That means don't give the hanhaga, that means the management of your body, to the animal, which is the nefesh, which is the government of below your belly button. Usually when we eat, what's the next pleasure? You're not that young. Good. I'm glad the discussion of this morning bears some good fruit. It is. Oh. We don't want to get gross it out. But it's a fact. It's a nature. So he says, do you want to have the management of time? Because when you go by the animal, it's time. You got that many years to live. Either you do it or you don't do it. And you go by time. But however, if you rise above your personality, you rise above it, and this is the discussion tonight. This is the tikkun of this month. You rise above it. Because I want to see Nes. I want to see Nes next month. This month is noon. Next month is Samech. I want to see Nes. I want to see Chanukah. I want to see the light comes out of me. He says, you want to see that? Rise above your nefesh. Don't go with the management of below. Tabur, go with the management of the Ruach. Is your soul. See what is your soul. Give the Hanagah. This, give the management to your soul. Go after the work of your soul. Don't go after the work of nefesh. Because the nefesh tells you what? Just give me good time. Whichever way. Whichever way. Just give me a good time. Just give me pleasure. I'm ready to go to work. I age. I break myself. I break my bones. To earn money for what? To give pleasure to my body. Who's running the show? The energy below the belt, below the tabur, or above the tabur?
Below the tabur.
Below the tabur. And that's why he says, the man that goes below the tabur is not the man. It's the man of nefilah. The man, he fell down. He's below. That's why nefesh has to make a tikkun and to rise above its personality and join what? Ruach. What is the aspect of the Ruach? Now we're going to learn a beautiful lesson what Torah is all about. We know what Abraham taught us. Abraham taught us chesed, compassion, love, self-sacrifice. Everything, even though that his nature was absolutely to do chesed. For Abraham to bring visitors and to do good and make food and invite visitors and his home open, it was his natural way of doing things. It was easy for Abraham to do. And yet, Abraham had 10 nisayonot, 10 exams. Of every one of them had to go to war, had to pull out the knife, had to get the fire, had to go and fell himself to the fire. All his life was war. Didn't have a second of love. All the time had to fight. That was Abraham. And yet, he kept the faith. Now, out of Abraham came an energy, and we know, excuse me, let's go back to Abraham. Abraham, we know, is an aspect of the nefesh. Nefesh. That means below the belly of Adam HaRishon, the first man. First man made the following mistakes. He listened to the word of the Nahash, the snake, and gave priority to his word, to the word of God. God told him, don't eat from the tree of good and bad. He knew it. But the Nahash enticed him. Nahash went to the below belt. Said, hey, look how gorgeous it is. Why do you say no? Do you know that if you eat this, you will be as good as God? Do you know that's why God doesn't want you to eat it? Do we have that energy within ourselves? He says, hey, Yosef, what's the matter with you? You're 25, 26, 30 years old. You're on the top of the world. How can you say no to those pleasures? You want to become 80 years old and enjoy those pleasures? By the time you're 80 years old, you won't understand anything. Take the opportunity. Go for it. Because if you don't do it today, you're not ever do it again. Don't lose the opportunity. So what do you say? That's the heaven in us. I don't know. Look, this one, I'm looking at this fruit. It's pretty good. Come on. How are you going to say? God created this. If he didn't want me to eat it, he wouldn't create it. If he created it, that means he wants me to eat it. So therefore, the logic says eat it and enjoy it. And say, you know what? Say, thank you, God. You give, I'll enjoy. As much as you can give me, I can enjoy it. That's the deal. So Abraham corrected that. His nature was, said to God, God, send me visitors, I'll take care of them. I love to cook. I like to care of the visitors. The more, the merrier it is. Yet Yitzchak came, and Yitzchak is Gevurah. And Yitzchak came to correct the aspect of the Ruach of Adam. The Ruach is defined by a man called Gevurah. That means absolute energy control. When was Yitzchak, Abraham took him to sacrifice him? How old was he? 37 years old. How old was Abraham? 137. Come on. He couldn't, Yitzchak tell to his father, what's the matter with you? You gone coco? What do you want to kill me for? Go and get yourself somebody else. I'm 37 years old. I'm just enjoying myself. Just started. I haven't got married yet. You telling me you wanna cut my head? Could he have said that? Yes, he could. But it was the aspect of the Ruach. And what is the aspect of the Ruach? I don't want anything out of this world. All the wealth that I have, the body that I have, the energy that I have, is for sake of taking me closer to the Creator. I came to this world not in order to go lower to than what I am, but just the opposite, to use the foundation of the lower world to go higher. Go down in order to go up. I didn't come here really to spend 420 years like dogs, one day happy, one day not happy, and every time I find a piece of bone, I whack my tail. That's what I am all about. This is really life is all about. For 60, 70, 80, 90, or 120 years, you come around here and like a dog, a piece of bone, and you know that today, maybe for a few seconds, you're happy. Next day, you don't know even what's going to happen to you. And you're going to get it from left and right, and this is what it is? That I work hard, 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 so I have a day of a good time, and then next day I forgot, and everything gets as bitter, and I forget all the good times? I'm sure all of you had good times in your life. Open your hand, show me one of them. Show me one. One of the pleasures that, of the many multi-pleasures that you had in your life. What are you doing with it? Where is it? What have you done? Where have you learned from your good times? What have you learned from your good times? We recognize. That's not what life is all about. So here comes Abraham and Yitzchak teach us the tikkun of months of Cheshvan. Because Cheshvan comes from the word Cheshbon. Calculate. Calculate what? Rise above. How to rise above? Says, what is the whole purpose it is? Scorpions are truly powerful when they do not seek power. This is Scorpio that says, I am the creator, I create. I am the energy. And has the power. Has the power, because the Scorpio is a very powerful energy. And he becomes really powerful when he does not seek power for self. That means forget about the nefesh. Forget of management under the nefesh. Management has to rise above the nefesh. But seek to be used by the power to heal and bless others. And what Yitzchak did? Yitzchak was totally gevura. After the Akudah, not one war. He didn't even get out of Israel. He stayed in Israel. Anybody he saw, including his own enemy, he gave bracha. He gave blessing. He says, God bless you. Anything they wanted, he blessed them. Not even one bad word, Yitzchak said. Not even one war. Sat down, make deal with everybody, with his worst enemy, he sat down, and at the end he said, you know what, let me break a bread with you, let me break a pact with you, that I will never bother you, and you know what, I pray to my God, because they said, you are a man of God, so therefore I pray to God, that God to bless you, and that is his highest enemy. And that's the power of a Scorpio. When he's not to seek power for himself, but it's power for what? For others and blessing the others. This is the power of this month. This is where you should have come to realize that I want to create a life. I want to create a personality. I want to be a man and a woman or a girl or a father or a son or a wife. That I am a cause for blessing the others. What do we call this? When you nullify yourself for sake of others. Hakam eventually said it. In Hebrew we call Mesirat Nefesh. What is Nefesh? We said is below the belly button. When you get that Nefesh, that energy, that pleasure, that I want, that the one that wants to have a big house, 5.5 bathrooms, and he wants to have a house here, in a one in Tahoe and one in Switzerland, and maybe Cannes in France. And you know, it's good to have one in Jerusalem too, you know. Once in a while, we want to go there. We want to make a cha-cha with God, so we have a place to go there. All that, he wants all this. For what reason? I love myself, because I love myself, because of Ahavat Atzmi. He says, you take that management out, and you rise above it, and you give the management for sake of others. What is the sake of others? That's aspect of soul. Because the soul is not interested to me. The soul is interested to go back to Hashem. To go back to the source. To get closer to the source. To have more and more midot. The ruach has the midot. My internal orgasm, which are the heart, the reot, kidneys, liver, and tachal, the one under it, are my internal seven. Seven orgasms. They are the inside of me. And they run by my midot. That means if my personality has affinity to personality of God, those internal orgasms, is internal members of my body, they behave and they continue and they become healthy. Any one of them goes bad, it's because my midot are not good. A person that becomes angry, at the bottom of his, on the other side of the liver, there is a bag, a black liquid. It's a power of death inside this liquid. Every time I am angry, a drop of that enters into my blood. Every time I get jealous. Every time one of my midot is not godly midot and they become earthy and bad midot, immediately one of those, or either the kalayot, which is my kidneys, or my tachal, or my liver, or my heart, or my reot, immediately react. There are seven midot, chesed, gevurah, tiferet, netzach, hod, yesod, malchut, seven. 7 days, 7 colors, 7 notes, 7 rivers, 7 oceans, 7 continents, 7 belts, 7 skies. We are in the world of 7. There is 7 inside me. And they are directly connected to my personality. If my personality is godly, those internal, they work properly. As soon as I deviate and I do not follow the rules of the Ruach, they start to kilkul. They start to go bad. They start to go cockeyed. And suddenly you see the person has an ugly face. He's not an ugly person. He's not really a bad person. He's a little bit selfish. Who gets angry? Why do we get angry? Only one thing. My desire is not fulfilled. That's the only time I get angry. Why do I get jealous? Because the other person has something that I want. And I don't have. All those midot are not godly midot. They are nefesh midot. They are havat atzmi, the love for myself. And as long as the management is that kind of a management, all the internal, they show reaction. So what this man says, God doesn't want me a sick human. God wants me to function properly. God wants me to enjoy this life. God wants me to have joy every second of my life. If you don't have joy in your life, you are not worth anything. The whole thing is not to be rich and be comfortable. The whole thing is to have joy. I go after the money because of the joy. Because I know many people who are rich, but they don't have no joy. They have everything, but they don't know how to smile. They don't know how to say I love you. They don't know what's the meaning of love. That's why Scorpio is a very important, extremely important of month of making correction of those reasons that they do not seek power for self, but to seek to be used by the power to heal and bless others. Their goals are reached by service, purity, compassion, and humility. Look what he's asking from Scorpio. Humility. Don't scratch somebody's back, expect to turn around to scratch your back. Do it because it's good to be in love. It's good to be a service to someone. It's good to light a light of someone else. It's good to release somebody out of their pain. It's just simply good. Why? And don't look for payment. As a matter of fact, I go every morning and I pray to God. God, I'm not looking for the payment. I'm looking, give me more responsibility. Give me more work. The person who goes after God and asks from God, God, you know what? Give me this, give me that. Give me good life. Give me a happy life. He's beating the wrong music. That's not the purpose of the creation. That's not the purpose of tikkun. Give me the work I have to do. Give me my responsibility. Irrelevant of what the profit is. Not looking. That's called love. That's called lasot nachat ruach leyotzri. I do it because of sake of my God. Because I want to have personality similar to personality of Hashem. Of my Creator. The light. The source, the mother. When they serve others and forget themselves, they are truly dynamic and majestic. I chose those words because it honestly defines what the parasha of this week means. When Isaac says to father, Father, we are going to a ritual to make a sacrifice. And what is korban? Sacrifice in Hebrew. That means we are going to do something to become karov, close to Hashem. We are going to sacrifice an animal. Whose animal? Animal inside me. The one that manages the below belly button. I want to sacrifice it for your sake. And this way I want to get close to you. I want to get close to the Ruach of Elohim. Upper. I want to come up. I want to get Aliyah. Where is this lamb that we are going to sacrifice? And the Midrash says, God says, Abraham says to his son, father that loves the son. The father that went all his life told everybody in the world, don't kill your son for God. God doesn't want you to kill your son for him. That doesn't show affection to God. And yet God told him exactly what he preached. And God told him, and Abraham turned around to Isaac and said, you are the lamb. And after that Isaac didn't, because he didn't have doubt that he's talking the word of Hashem. And Abraham said, God will show you. And that moment, God showed Isaac that he is the sacrifice, to be sacrificed. Now, what I want you to feel, why Torah brings such a story? Come on. It's harsh. It's cruel. Why? A father, 137 years old. After so many years and tefillot, bring your son and sacrifice. What arouses when you hear this story in you? Emotion. Emotion. God wants to arouse your emotion. Because your emotion are your midot. God wants you to feel. God wants your feeling. Your brain, He controls it. The soul controls our brain. But my heart, I control. And he wants to see how much of this feeling I give to God. And how much it I give to below belt. How much I give to my animal. And how much I am ready to say to animal, you know, no. Because Abraham, numerical value of Abraham, 248 mitzvot of ma'aseh to do. That's Abraham. Yitzchak is 365 mitzvot of totally no. For what? For whose sake? Hashem, the Creator. That kind of energy we call Mesirat Nefesh. That means you nullify the totality of the Tanug, the totality of Mammon, the richness, all the material things that you have in this world. How much you are attached to a 20 years old hat? Everybody has a shirt, something in the closet that they love and it's from many years ago. Why we keep it? Why do we keep it?
Nostalgia.
Who keeps it? But you know that you're going to leave it here and you're going to go. Do we know that for sure?
Sure, we do.
And still I'm holding to it. It's not even usable. But you know, it's a good memory. So I want to keep it. What am I? This is how I get fooled. So it continues. Scorpios are not likely to have a happy marriage. How many Scorpios we had here? They, it says, and it has a reason. Until they have redeemed and transformed their natures. Until such a time the Scorpio does not change his nature. Now, what marriage we are talking about? Yes, in this world we are talking about a marriage of a man and a woman, and that's applicable, that's correct. But there is a marriage between me and Hashem. Me and my source, me and my creator. That marriage will not be a good marriage unless I change my character. I change my ratzon. I change the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire sharing. Not for my sake, is a blessing of others. Forget about loving yourself. Now I want you to really tonight sit down and make a meditation. It's an easy word to say, yeah, love yourself. Of course I have to love myself. If I don't love myself, I'm going to kill myself. Do you know who kills himself? The one who is ultimately love himself more than anything in the world. It's not because of he hates himself or she hates himself. He kills himself because he doesn't want to face the problems and responsibilities in this world. He's a cop-out. So he says, you know what? I don't need it. Adios. That's the ultimate of loving yourself. Now, the person that doesn't love himself is the one that says, okay, I'm here. Can I do you a service? And I ask for it. And I do it because it makes me feel good to do it. That's a hell of a beautiful life. It's a hell of a beautiful life. Because I don't have to worry about my own pleasures. You tell me there is an end to pleasures? Is there? Are you ever going to satiate from pleasure? And now you see a blessing in the world. He says, "Achalta vasavata ubarachta." That means you eat and you become satiated. You know, one of the biggest bracha and rachmanut and love of God is to allow us to become satiated. Imagine that you would keep on eat and you're still hungry. You would never reach the point that you say, "Oh, I had enough." Imagine, your stomach is going that far, still you're hungry. So it's a blessing that you reach a point, say, thanks God, I'm happy. I'm satiated. He says, don't forget, when you start eating, say a bracha. because of you're getting something to eat. That God is along with you because when you are chewing it and you're enjoying the taste, you're sharing it with God. God is in your mouth. God is in your eyes, in your hands, in your lips, in your tongue, in your heart. Everything you chew enjoys the way you enjoy it because you said the bracha. And by saying bracha, you allowed God to come within you. He says, okay, this is one part. There is another part to this pleasure, is that you become satiated. But don't forget me when you became satiated. Don't say, because I'm hungry, God, give me, I want to eat and enjoy myself. Okay, you enjoyed it? You became satiated? Don't forget me. Don't forget me. You know what? Still, bracha nafashot we have. Still we have a finish of bracha. Everything we do at the end, we eat at the end, there is a bracha for it. There is either the fruit, either the kalkala, or is mechia, or there is, even if you take a piece of cake, you ate it, you satiated, say the bracha. That God, after my donkey passed the bridge, I'm not going to forget you. I know you at the beginning, and I know you at the end. That shows that you rise above your personality. And it continues. It says, yet the marriage and relationship are extremely important for them. Their regeneration lies in learning to be cooperative and outgoing toward others. Many of us, we are looking to get married. We want to get married. There is a problem. What's the problem? And every one of us, we have an excuse that this is the problem. You know, the boys are this way and the girls are this way. The girls ask you, what is your area code? And the boys ask us, do you know certain things and are you good? That's not the problem. The problem that we got married because we really, you know what's the best thing a boy wants? To find a very rich girl with a rich father. That falls in love with him. And the father says, because my daughter loves you, here it is, all my money in your hand, you be the boss. And it's very good if she is beautiful too.
And a good family.
I mean, really, that's it, the ultimate. Anybody says no? Oh, of course it's not true. Sometimes we have to really, we are seekers of a man. Let's go inside. Because when marriage is, that means rise above your personality, stop loving yourself, start really doing everything for your partner. Not for yourself. Because as soon as you see, oh yeah, I get married, so there is somebody to take care of my laundry and my food. in the wrong alley. That's Ava, that's me. In the marriage relation, you gotta give up the nefesh. You gotta give up the love of myself. You have to accept somebody else to join you and be one, and you be one with the other. That's the marriage with God. Exactly the same way. As long as I am on my horses, this is my home, I bought it, I go to work, this is my money, I brought the money, you are only my wife, and you are not as educated as I am, and therefore I am stronger than you, you are much weaker than me, so therefore follow my orders, and if you don't follow my orders, go back to your mother's house. That's the attitude of best remedy for divorce. And why do we have so many divorces? There is no Mesirat Nefesh. We want the cake and eat it too. And you know whose problem it is? Men's problem. The men are the problem really. Because it takes a long time for a man to be mature. I don't give credit to ladies too, but usually the problem arises from a man. The man takes care of the house and he changes, she follows. If he is not ready to change, she will give him the best lesson of his life. Especially in California. And don't forget it.
Unless you have that agreement.
Now imagine what kind of a life of marriage it is that I go to my future person that I want to be in love with and have be a partner and have children and grandchildren. Say, you know what? I love you very much, but would you agree that everything I have is mine and you don't want anything out of it? You get a penny for every $100,000 I have. That's really fair. I imagine where this comes from. From the management below the belt. That means the nefesh. And that's why in this month we have to rise and come above this nefesh. And that's what Abraham and Isaac, they showed us. That the purpose of the creation is for me to create Maim Nukvim. Maim Nukvim, man. What was this man that God gave in the desert to the Jews to eat? What was this man? How do we write man?
Memnon.
Mesirat is start with Mem. Nefesh starts with Nun. So what is this Mesirat Nefesh? It's Maim Nukvim. What is Maim Nukvim? We have Maim Dukhrim. That means male, water of male, and water of female. What's the difference between a water of male and water of female? In order to get a water of male is the rain coming from above to below. We call this rain as male water. And what is female water? How do I get female water, which is a Mesirat Nefesh? It's to dig a bear. Dig, how do you call?
Well.
A well. Go down. Go down. How down?
As far as you hit it.
As far as it's possible to reach water. And then what to do with the water?
Bring it up.
That's called Maim Nukvim. That's called Mesirat Nefesh. That means I am ready to come to this world down from above. Down all the way, come to the place that is dirty. The place that there is sin, the place that there is ugliness. Bad midot, I am come inside here, into the darkness, and bring light out of the darkness. Bring light out of darkness. The male is always a giver. A female is a taker. A receiver. The water that comes above goes to earth because Mother Earth takes it. In order for me to get it, this water, I have to. Right now they do with machines, whales. But before they had to dig. And go 20, 30 meters down into total darkness to find water. That's called Mesirat Nefesh. I don't think that, if I am in the middle of the way, a piece of a stone might fall down on my head and can kill me. And it can. Many people went down and died to make whales. And so is life. We come to this life in order to be ready. I want to read you a portion of the Kabbalah, which is a very difficult thought. But I want you to hear it, even though you are very young. And this is necessary for us to know it. And it goes as follows. וזהו הניסיון שעתידים ישראל להנסות ב-70 שנה של גלות אחרונה. We know that we are in galut. Galut means when the emet and the truth is not revealed. There will be a time that the government will change. The government that is ruling the world right now is a government of mercy. It's a government of Abraham and government of Yaakov. That means Rachmanut, mercy, and chesed. There will be a time that when the truth is revealed, There is no more opportunity to make teshuvah, correction. When the truth is there and you say, okay, now I am ready, God, to join you, what God is going to tell you? He says, now that you saw the truth, there is no more any more free will. Now you can make a choice. But when the truth is revealed, you cannot make a choice. And hear what they say. That 70 years, it will be exactly the time that the management changes and the management is not anymore with mercy and the management is not anymore with chesed and management is totally with gevura, din. That means ishak. That means there is no more mercy. There is no more, give me please 10 more minutes, I'm going to make up for it. Please accept my apology and I want to be better. There is, won't be time for that. Says, what happens then? She'ani chashav kemomet. Says, a poor man. What is a poor man? He's like a dead person. What that means? He says, you have to come to the point that you are alive, but you are dead. You are rich, but you don't have anything like an ani. But you are a powerful man. But you don't love yourself, you do for others. So as far as you are for yourself, you're dead. You are kemomet. You are ani. But you have money. You have power. You have love, but for others' sake. That's called mesirat nefesh. Exactly like Isaac did. What Isaac did. Isaac turned around to his father and said, Father, are you going to, I'm going to be sacrificed. Why? God says so. He wants to my life. He wants my life. I'm not worried about my life. But my life is connected to my mother. My nefesh is nefesh of my mother because Isaac did not have his own nefesh. Nefesh of his mother was in the body of Isaac. The moment that Isaac saw the knife comes down on him, he got so scared, so he speak, he died. He gave up everything that he had. And the moment that he died, Sarah died. His mother died. The moment that this happened to Isaac, Sarah died. There is a lot to discuss here that what happens. Is the Isaac before the sacrifice, is the same Isaac after sacrifice? No. Who said so? Father went to Beersheba. Where Isaac went? Isaac went to Gan Eden for 3 years. And the same day, now listen what happened to Isaac. Isaac, when he did this sacrifice, he did not even go after to find a wife. He did not even go to find his batzug. His batzug was brought to him. What that means? That when you rise above your personality, you don't have to work hard. You don't have to really, really work hard. Everything will be brought for you. Exactly that Eliezer went and brought the day he did it. Rivka was born. The nefesh that he received after the sacrifice was the nefesh that God created in the first 7 years of 7 days of creation. Seven things God created prior to the creation. One of them was the soul of Isaac. But the soul of Isaac was not given to Isaac till Isaac becomes worthy of receiving that soul. That means totality of Olam Haba'a, the next word belonged to Isaac. Only because he did Mesirat Nefesh, that means he gave his mamon, that means his wealth, his body, and his soul to God. That's not an easy job to do. And for that we need tools. For that we need tremendous, because he says the last 70 years, every Jew has to go through Mesirat Nefesh. Every one of us. And we think it's a bad thing. No. Just the opposite. The moment that you give up that management of nefesh and you rise above your personality, listen, that's when things will work for you. That's the secret of this month. And this is a very hard thing to give up. Yes, please.
Just like you, I think last week you mentioned everything like air, water, fire, food gives pleasure, but too much, obviously, of anything isn't good. So why is it physical pleasure seen that way of in moderation to be enjoyed? I still don't understand. When you say management...
Why God gave the highest pleasure to below the belly button? Why? That's the highest pleasure. There is no pleasure higher than that. Only for procreation. Now he says the following, and I want to read this section for you. It's not out of coincidence that God and the Torah says age of 20 you go under chuppah. That means you get married. Don't stick around. He says, no, let me make the first $1 million. After I have money and a house and everything, then I'm going to get married. When you have the house and you have the money, you will never get married. You know what's the problem with marriage? You know what's the biggest problem with the marriage? It kills the romance. As long as you are not married, the romance is the best. As soon as you are married, it's no more romance. So don't go for the romance. Because if you go for the romance, you're going to have a house, and you're going to have a special house with a special thing in the house. For what purpose? Only romance. But because you are smart and you know marriage is going to kill romance, you're not going to think about marriage. So that's why Torah came and says, you know what? As soon as you are 20, before you got smart, take the yoke. Here it goes the following. He says, Mi shelo masar nafsho gufo o mamono. A Jew that is not ready to limsor, to give up his mamon, his wealth, his life, and his body, ba'ahava, with tremendous amount of love to Ribono, b'sha'ad hashmad ka'ilu ichzir et ha'olam letohu vevohu, ve'lachen hakatuv vasmoch lebereshit is ahava. Why God wrote Bereshit bara Elokim et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz, and we said Bereshit is the secret of Ahava, and right after the Ahava we said v'haya aretz tohu ve'vohu. That means before Bereshit, before this love, life was what? Tohu, like hell. So he says, very good. What it means? If you go to connect to the love of Hashem, your badzuk is going to be brought everything to you. The only thing you have to do is sit down and bless everybody else in the world. Because God gives you plenty. But if you don't connect to this love of Hashem, you go after your ahavat atzmi, the love of yourself, you're going to only have one thing. Tohu vavohu. Now, we go further than that. And it says the following. I have to find it, and I want to read it for you very carefully. Okay. I'll say it. We said that sex, which is the ultimate creation, and has the ultimate pleasure in it, produces from a man a sperm. And where these sperms come from? It starts from this bone here and works all the way his ways, goes to our kidneys, and our kidneys cleanse it, clears it, purifies it, and that's where it become a sperm. Now, this is the godliest thing that you have. This is the godliest things that you have. That means this produces procreation, creates. And it comes from above to below. Not from below to above. It comes from here, top of your head, and goes all the way down through these bones. Now you become disrespectful and wasted. Wasted. For purpose of, I want to enjoy it. Just I want you to think about it. It's okay. He says all those people that they did this, they're going to be in that last 70 years. That means they have to come to the point of absolutely, absolutely experience Mesirat Nefesh. That means they have to come to the point of absolutely. They have tremendously, they love their life, they have to give up their life. They love their wealth, they got to give it up, all to the last penny. They're going to go through experience of what Isaac and Abraham went through. And that's called Mesirat Nefesh. There is a tremendous in-depth accounting in this system. Everything is produced, has a purpose, has a reason. The purpose of the creation is very clear. The purpose of me being a Jew is very clear. There is a difference between a Jew and 70 nations of the others. 70 nations are dictated, given, permitted, and made to have ahavat atzmi. That means to love themselves. It's a mitzvah for them. For a Jew, it's a arur. That means it's a curse to love yourself. That doesn't mean to take care of your nefesh. That doesn't mean to take care of your body. That means you go from A to Z to take care of this dome of godliness. Everything this body is God given you for you to use as a tool is your tool. It's not to abuse and to not to be misused. It's not to overdo and is not to underdo. It is to only to keep it on the level of tiferet, that means beauty, in every aspect. To respect it in every aspect. So therefore, the highest thing that you produce, which is for a woman an egg, and for a man is a sperm. Don't waste it. Don't destroy it. Don't belittle it. Don't ignore it. Don't say, because I want to, it's mine. It's nothing is yours. Absolutely, if you look, nothing is ours. Look at the, we said, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. That means the action of forefathers are signs for us to learn. That means the work that Isaac did. Isaac did what? He said, Father, if you sacrifice me, you better tie me so I don't kick. Because there is a nefesh in me. Because there is a soul, animal is me. He might get afraid of your knife. He might get angry and he might push. And the sacrifice, the korban will be with mum. It'll be defected. If you want to sacrifice me, so sacrifice me the best. So tie me strong. And the father says, the midrash, didn't wait. He said, dilly dallying, say, okay, how should I do? No! As soon as Isaac said he binded him, as soon as he said, just make sure I am tied, he took up the knife and to finish the job. That's a lot of emotion. What this signals me, when you become emotional, that's the time that you have free will. When you are, your emotions is touched. Oh, you touched me. You really did to me this. You did that. You shouldn't have said this. And you shouldn't have said that. And because you did this, and because you looked at me left, and because I was in the right, and you did this, I hate you. This you are below belt. Rise above it. That's the moment that you rise and you don't become reactive, you become proactive. You see, there is a lesson for me to learn here. There is a lesson here, work for me to do. There is something for me to do. That's why God gave the woman to man from his tzela. That's his chada. For what? Ezer kenegdo, to be his helper in front of him. That's the woman standing in front of the man. He says, my man, you are a man, I love you. But you know what? This character of yours is a little bit crooked. You got to get better. Fine tune. And the man becomes better, is like a sun. The more this moon takes more the light of sun, the more shiny she becomes. The more the relation between a man and a woman becomes stronger with the true love and true self-sacrifice, the love that exists, the light that comes out of these two is tremendous. You want to tell me when a sperm goes into an egg, and if the mother gets, while she is consuming the sperm, and she gets angry, or she gets drunk, or she takes this cocaine, or that opium, or this drug, or that drug, what do you think the baby is going to come out? We know. We see it. But now imagine that this sperm goes to an egg, but she is in absolute love, care, insurance that I have a husband, that I have a father that is going to be a good father, that he cares, he gives up, he stays with me, he is mine. What do you think this baby is going to come out? That's the difference. That's the difference between a one baby and a one baby. It's not for nothing that the baby is nine months in the stomach of a mother. Because 9 months, the mother is going to look at the father and says, what kind of a baby would you like? What kind of a future would you like? I am the earth, mother earth. I'm developing it for you. You tell me. You tell me. I have your sperm. That's exactly the same thing with God. God says, it's my godliness with you. What do you want to develop out of it? Yes, please. Take your time.
Okay. The first one is, you talk about 70 years. Can you explain that when you talk about Mesirat Nefesh? What do you mean 70 years? 70 years of our lives?
Okay. Bravo. I wanted somebody to really kick me with that. Really, our life, we have 70 years. Like David HaMelech. David HaMelech got 70 years. Our true life that we can make tikkun, that means we have the possibility of to making teshuvah, is 70 years. After 70 years, I cannot make any more teshuvah. Finished. If I am alive, I am for purpose of others. There is nothing that I can do for myself.
So when you say that it will take...
That means it takes all my life of totally to stay continuously in a state of Mesirat Nefesh. Continue, like a dead. I'm alive for 70 years, but I'm chemo dead. Chemo, that means like dead. Who is like dead? The one who is poor and doesn't have no desire is dead. If the person is poor and is really is homeless, does he have a desire? How much desire he has? Oh, to go to one garbage place, maybe somebody forgot and dropped some hamburger. Half hamburger is really dirty and he cleans it up and down here. And it stinks. But you know, I don't have anything better.
So why do we stay alive? Why don't we just
because deep in our heart, we want to reach the emet with the truth. Because we started, we are seeker of the truth. What is the emet? Is the Hashem? Is the Creator? I want to get back to it. Ask a person who is extremely sick, has all his body is cancer. He said, would you like to die? He says, no. I am ready to do anything. All my money, take it. Everything. I don't want to die. Why? Because he knows that he still can do something to become closer to his Creator. He's dying. The doctor said, finito. Finito de commedia. It's a comedy. But I don't want. I'll do anything. Take everything. Go ahead.
If we're here for a purpose,
right?
And if this person is dying because of cancer, then obviously he must have fulfilled his purpose, probably. So then why does he have an instinctive feeling that he has it?
Is there a person that dies in sickness and a person that doesn't die in sickness?
Yeah.
Yes? What's the difference? Maybe in this we fulfill one more mitzvah. Because we cleanse in death. The sickness itself is a way of cleansing. But I'd rather not to go through that such a harsh judgment. I'd rather go through life and do my work the way I have to do. And you know what? Sit down in a very beautiful view. I'm 120 years old. I've seen my great-great-great children. And I have seen my wife and everybody in good health. And really, I see a beautiful, and I see the fruit of my life. I have done good. And I say, you know what, God? Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. One kiss of death and tax got the neshama. Which one you rather go? Make sense? How to die? Very good. Very good. Hold on. Hold on. What you said? Death is death. So what? You don't know until you start feeling it. You suddenly get scared and you didn't know yet how to run. Then you run. You don't know how fast to run. You find a leg that you never had in order to get away from death. You're ready to give up everything because you don't want to die because it's scary. How much it takes a person to have fear? Is there a person that doesn't have any fear? No such a thing. Why a person has fear?
Protective mechanism. Guilty? No, it's a protective mechanism.
Only sinners have guilt. And fear. Only. Only sinners. And we are all sinners. What emuna? Where did you buy it? So I can buy a kilo of it. You know what is emuna? It's the when you go above your knowledge. That is rising above your personality. As long as you are into your inchy-binchy knowledge, there is no matter of emuna, faith. If you are able to rise above your knowledge, whatever your knowledge is, rise above it, then you are in a domain of faith.
But we're all sinners.
Of course. That's why we're all afraid. Of course. So there is no such a thing that, you know, I don't care. You want to hit me anyway. Oh, he brings you to a moment theater, a scenario. God forbid. You had another question.
I did. The second question has to do with procreation.
Uh-huh.
This is probably a lengthy answer, but then what is the Jewish religion's belief, or the Torah's belief on contraception? I mean, you see a lot of very religious families with a lot of children, but then you see some religious families with just a few, and is there a line in between?
Bravo. Very good question. Honestly, very honest question. And I thank you for it for the following reason. The question is, then what Judaism really expects to us to be orthodox to the extent that I absolutely refuse to enjoy the sex and just use it for procreation? Hold on. What is really important for God? We are at whatever level we are. And God knows where we are standing. The important thing for God is not that overnight I become perfect. That's not the purpose at all. As a matter of fact, I will never become perfect. There is a space for improvement. Always, infinitum. What is important is at the level that you are and the point that you are, how you commit your life and how much you put effort in your commitment. God finds a value, midot va'erech, value to effort that you put from your heart. How much your heart is into it. And it's not that overnight you say, you know what, God, I am ready to kill myself for you. God says, this guy is crazy. But he says, I try. And you do a little bit. But next time you do a little bit more when you're ready. But just make sure to stay with the Torah, that you don't become lazy, that you don't take God's granted. You know, I am becoming a good boy and a good girl. I'm sure God is going to take care of me. God is not going to let anything bad happen to me. Because then God is going to give me an exam. And something bad, God forbid, happens. And then I try and turn around and say to God, God, I did all these things that you told me to do. I kept your Shabbat. I kept kosher. I did this. I did that mitzvah. And this is how you answer me? What kind of a God you are? That only shows one thing. That I did every effort for purpose of receiving benefit. So to speak, I hired God to be my gopher. And he's a good gopher because he can go everywhere. But if my purpose is now to change my midot, and I know this is a natural thing and I have to go to a natural process and it's a very difficult task, and I need his help every step of the way, I need God's help, and I come to a conclusion that I cannot take a step in this life without God of help. I want God to come with me. As a matter of fact, I come to a point, and I promise you, the age at least, the age, the nature will bring you to the point. You say, God, I cannot take a step. You know what? I really don't know which direction to take. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what is there for me to do. You know what? I only know one thing. I raise my feet. You turn this world such a way, put the right road under my feet. That's the only thing I can do. But I know that the road that you put under my feet is your road and I'm going to walk it. And this way I don't have any fears. I take a day at a time and I do my best. It's not a matter of, oh, you know what, I get married and I heard it and I go at night and the husband comes home. Well, can I say I love you? What do you mean you love me? I mean, suddenly I change my methods and suddenly I am not ready to kiss my husband because kissing you for what purpose? Do you enjoy when I kiss you? Yeah. Oh no, you're not supposed to enjoy it. That's not life. That's not life. Yes. Kiss, especially God put kiss. It's called neshika. Neshika is when a man and a woman, they kiss, they mix their souls together, unite their soul together. Their soul. Their soul is connected to through the sex. And I want out of this connection to come goodness, love, continuity. Continuity more than anything else. I don't want at the end of the scenario, say, okay, let's have lunch tomorrow. And say goodbye and walk out or turn around and go away. Who wants that? What kind of a love is that? That's animal. The animal doesn't stick around to say after the sex, to say, okay, can I do something for you? Can I stick around? We are not babies. That's disrespectful. Who wants it? Only the animal. Animal doesn't care. Oh, unfortunately, I hear now, he says, as much as the man uses me, I use the man. How do you like that? I mean, look at the idea. Look at where we got. That the woman now has a proudness that, yeah, he used me. He's wrong. I used him. That's what it is all about. Any other question? Yes, please.
You spoke about the egg and the sperm.
Yes.
You said
belittle it. Don't belittle it. It's a purpose to it. You are taking me to wrong alley. I know you are taking where you are taking me. It's very dangerous. Yes, tell me. I know my friend.
What is nikar for the man or for the woman to, because you said 20 years under the
hukah. Right.
So you go under the hukah 20 years and then no wasting, no nothing, no. So let's say every 2 years you have a kid. So by the time you're 40, the man is 40 and the woman is 35, there are like 15, 20 kids.
Yes. Look at it. No. Perfect. Listen to this. Listen. Yes.
What is there must be some way that's
contraceptive.
Okay.
What are you supposed to do?
Here.
What do you do?
Now, hear me out. I wish I had 20 kids. I honestly wish it. And you don't know it till you miss it. You don't know the feeling. I can only transfer the intelligence of my feelings to you. But I cannot transfer my feelings to you. At this age, at this point that I am, I am sorry that I don't have 20 kids like this. I'm sorry. Why? Because I know a man who was my teacher, who really had 18 kids. And his kids has his kids, and the kids had their kids, and they got married at a very early age. And about 10 years ago, there were 70 people every Pesach. They had to hire a hotel for a Pesach. And I said, Rav, he allowed me to be close to him. I said, Rabbi Weiss, how does it feel? He says, Joseph, I cannot give you the feeling. But this is the only way I feel I'm close to God. I'm close to God. When I see all those kids that you are the son of Chaime, and you are the son, and I look at those and I see myself in every bit of them. I see myself in. I think you met the wife, and you know the wife. Was she a successful doctor? Was she beautiful? And was she younger than all of them?
That was amazing.
Thank you.
That's
and so 20 kids doesn't age you. 20 kids, they make you more beautiful. I went for lunch. You think I'm kidding? When you have it in a row, first of all, your cost of clothes buying, it reduces. Because you keep on passing it on. And you don't need any more babysitters. Babysitters are very expensive. Because there is one to take care of the other one. I was invited one Shabbat with my daughter and with my wife. And we stayed at night there. I swear the kitchen would get clean in a matter of no time. I mean, the mother didn't have to wait. And the same mother would say, call Chaim. Yes, bring me that book in this closet for me. Chaim would go and bring a book. Oh no, not this book, another book. 10 times she sends Chaim to bring a book. Chaim did not turn around to the mother. Mother, make up your mind. What is it you want? Nothing, no complaint.
Never say get it yourself.
They cherish the mother. They love the mother because the older kid teach the younger kid, this is your mother, respect her. The orders of the Torah are not phony. Text 1, Naseva Nishma, do it. You might like it. Now, the one who is born in a religious family follows the family rule. What is you are born, what level you are? That's your Bereshit. That is your beginning. What are you comparing yourself with anybody else? You are not anybody else. You cannot say this religious guy did this and this. I better do like him. Wrong. You better do what is right for you, and the Torah says what is for you. You are this level. Try to start from this level going up. If you go to your wife, he says, you know what? Now, every time kids. Otherwise, no deal. I want to give a purpose to this. What do you think she's going to tell you? She's not ready. Maybe you are ready in your head. In your head. We are. It's not you. It's me too. Everybody. So I think if I am running, my wife can run like me. No. But if I go and both of us together, and this is why it's good to come to those classes, husband and wife. Because the wife or the husband goes and learns, and one stays behind. And one says, look, this is the name of the game. She says, you're crazy. Where did you learn all these things? You went to Rabbi Zargari, or you went and you became too religious for me on me? So we blame others. A husband and the wife is one unit. Gotta learn one unit, do as one unit, and do your best every time to become better. It is the duty of husband to sexually satisfy his wife. That's his duty. Duty. And he has to do it. What kavanah he puts in this and what the wife kavanah puts in this, that's important. What's the purpose I am doing? Is the purpose, you know what, today I am so sad, I want to just enjoy myself and go to sleep? That's aspirin. No. But if I give purpose to it, goodness to it, love to it, I make it the cause of becoming more binding, more true. When I say, I love you, this, I love you, I mean it. Not by words, by action. And I am starting to become a holy husband. That's good. But if I have only two urges and I want to satisfy only the urges and I do it in order to satisfy urges, then I am in the below belt. I am below the taboo. Now, before we continue, there are those that few of you accepted my recommendation, my request, and taken a tefillin, and taken a tzitzit, and want to do the mitzvah of tzitzit and mitzvah of tefillin, which I honestly, with bottom of my heart, I tell you, you did the biggest service and favor to yourself. The sooner, the better. This Sunday, I wanted to put a shiur, a lesson, but I understand some of my good friends have prior commitments, so I don't want to disappoint them. Not this Sunday, the following Sunday, in Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to repeat it the next Tuesday too. From 5 o'clock in this Bet Knesset, I will teach Bezrat Hashem Bli Neder, the inner meaning of Tefillin, inner meaning of Tzitzit, how we put it on, what Kavanah, what feelings, senses, intentions we put in putting a Tefillin, why we put it this way, what it means when I put it, before, after, what I do, what it, as much as possible in the first session, and if it is necessary, we will do two sessions. Those who want to learn, especially those who receive the tefillin and they want to start the mitzvah. We will do an official class, not this Sunday, the following Sunday. Everybody is welcome to come. Those that they want to put the tefillin, they have to bring the tzitzit, a tefillin, and a sidur that they have. I will recommend later on a Sidur, which is in English and in Hebrew, that will help to understand and really have more information about everything we do as far as meditation is concerned. However, those who have received Tefillin, and this weekend they don't have a very important engagement, they can call me, or they can come to me right now, after the class. I'll set up a time to meet them, to sit down with them, and start the mitzvah. As the Ramchal, Chachmeinu, Zichrono Lebracha, says, Zerizut b'mitzvah. That means when there is a mitzvah for you to do, don't delay that. Do it. Bingo! So, still I'm available this Sunday for those who wants to get it this Sunday and study it and start it, and those that they want to wait because they have a commitment, we will put it for the following Sunday. Those who are interested, please approach Yosef Melamed. After the class, I love you all. Take care of yourself. Rise above your personality. Shalom v'litraot.
This Sunday.
Sunday. Write down.
What time are we going to do it?
Sunday. 5 o'clock is good for you?
I have to go to Nessa. After
what time is good for you?
After Soda Shilshek.